Father, we thank you tonight for your unending love, and we thank you for your amazing grace. We bless you on tonight. You've been so good to us. As we look back over this year, your hand of blessing and your hand of provision, your hand of protection, and Father, has been with us day in and day out, time and then time again. You've watched over us. You've helped us and you've blessed us and you've kept us, Father God. We just want to thank you. We know from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. And we want to thank you tonight because you've been good all year long. You've been good. You've been better than good to us. So we thank you. Father, as we stand before the mighty word tonight, we are so excited because we know this, your word is just dripping with the anointing. Your word has the answer to every situation, every circumstance, every unsolved problem, every person needing direction tonight. Your word's got the answer. And so, Father, tonight we apply on purpose, intentionally, we apply faith to the word of God, because we know that faith activates the power in your word. And so, Father God, move among your people tonight. Speak a word unto your people. Father, speak to every person listening, those listening over the internet or live stream or some other venue, some other way. Bless them and speak a word to them. Speak a word to every person listening in this place tonight. Father, we'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. And Father, we thank you for unction and utterance tonight. And Father, we thank you for the things that you've laid upon our heart and for the privilege, the high call and high privilege to preach your word, to share your word tonight. Father, what an awesome, awesome joy and privilege and responsibility. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, believing. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. Glory to God. Hug one more person before you're seated. Shake somebody's hand. Don't you appreciate Brother Rich and all of our frontline singers and musicians and band? Not just tonight, all year long, they've led us into the presence of God. You can do better than that. Service after service, they've led us into the presence of God. Let them hear you back there. I know they've gone back, but let them hear you. Don't you appreciate that? Praise God. Glory to God. There's nothing like going into the presence of God. And I know I could speak for all the ministers. Yeah, it's just... it's just so easy to come forward and come forth, minister what the Lord has given when you're in that kind of atmosphere, when the atmosphere is conducive. And they create that atmosphere every time. We're just grateful and appreciate it. All right, how you doing, saints of God? All right, how many had a good Christmas yesterday? All right, how many ate too much? Yeah, no, it's good. Praise God. God's been so good. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going. Tonight, we are headed intentionally to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Somebody say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Yeah, he really is, isn't he? Somebody say, the Lord's been good to me. Yeah, actually, he's been better to you and I than we realize. We know he's been good, but he's actually been better. He's been better than good, better than we realize, better than we give him credit for. I said, amen. Stand up on your feet. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Thank him for being good. If he's been good to you this year, come on, you thank him. Lift your voice to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being so good. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to my family. Thank you, Father God. You've seen us through many days and nights, and you've helped us over and over again. Thank you, Lord. You've provided, and you've touched, you've healed, you've blessed, and you've covered. And Father God, thank you. Thank you. You've saved us from a devil's hell. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you that the mighty word is working in our behalf tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know he's worthy tonight? Yeah, he's worthy. He's worthy, right? He's been so good. A few weeks ago, I was reading in this chapter, 2 Timothy, and as I was reading, my eyes got caught three times in this chapter by the words, these things are the things. And the first time I saw that, I had to go back and look. I had to read it two or three times. Just I thought, man, I've seen that phrase before. In verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, 2, Paul writing to Timothy talks about the things which you've heard. He said, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. And he goes on to say, entrust those to other faithful men who can share it with other men. And those things, the things, he starts talking the things there. And then down in verse 14, he tells Timothy, remind them of these things. Remind them of these things. And then down at 21, he says, if a man will cleanse himself from these things. That phrase, these things, or the things, just stood out to me. And so in the in reading these scriptures again and again, then we realized that we were preparing a message for some time, and this is the time that that fits. So the title of this sermon is Follow After These Three Things. Help me with my title tonight. Follow After These Three Things. How many glad that God uses you? He uses you in particular, and he's used you this year. Maybe he's used you to encourage somebody. Has God used anybody to encourage somebody in here? It's a blessing to be used of the Lord, isn't it? Maybe the Lord's used you and you've been able to provide a meal for someone or to help someone. Has God used anybody like that? Yeah. Maybe you've been able to share your faith with somebody, and there's nothing like the joy that comes when you as a Christian get to share your faith with somebody else and let the Lord use you to be a witness for him. Anybody ever been used by God like that? It's a blessing just to be used of the Lord. And as Christians who are growing in the Lord, then our desire must increasingly be, our hunger must increasingly be to be used by God. You know, in a babyhood stage of Christianity, we make everything about us, and we're just concerned about us, and just us four, no more, and we just pray prayers for us, and we just do things for us, we're just concerned about paying our bills. But there's another level in Christ. How many know there's another level when you can move beyond your own four walls? And when you can begin to have a concern about your other people, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and when you say, Lord, I want you to use me, I'm willing to pray and stand in the gap. Use me to pray for somebody else. Oh, that's a good stage. That's a good stage as a believer. When you believe God for our own needs, but when you can move past your needs, when you can say, Lord, I want to help somebody else. I want you to use me to intercede. Use me to stand in the gap. I said, amen. I said, God's looking. He's looking for his sons and his daughters that he can use in a greater way than he has heretofore. And as we approach this 2019 year, our desire should increasingly be, our hunger should increasingly be, Lord, I want you to use me more. How many feel that way tonight? God, I want you to use me more this coming year than you ever had before. Use me more in 2019 than you did in 2018. Use me more in 2019 than you have in any year of my life. How many say, God, I want you to use me. Want to be used by you. Something powerful happens when we yield ourselves to the Lord. Galatians 2:20, Paul said there, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He was saying, I've learned how to allow the Lord to live through me. He was saying, essentially, I've learned how to let God use me. And that's a powerful thing when a man or woman will let God use them. Woo! When God can find a willing vessel. There's all kinds of vessels. But when he can find a willing vessel, watch out now. I said, God will hook up with you, partner with you. He will use you in unbelievable ways. Want God to use us. Amen. You know, Acts chapter 8 talks about how God used a man named Philip. This man, Philip, he was a deacon. We first heard of Philip in chapter 6. He wanted God to use him. Used him like in the We Care Center or whatever they called it back then in the early. We call it the We Care Center. But Philip wanted God to use him. He was serving meals and helping people with food. And then they gave him a title of deacon, but he just wanted to be used of God. Amen. I said, it's amazing that when the word of God began to spread after the persecution that came in Acts chapter 8, Philip was one of those who left Jerusalem with the spread of the persecution, wound up in Samaria, and a great revival broke out. And the Bible says God used Philip mightily. Used him mightily. You know, you get over there to read in Acts 21, it says, God, the scripture says in Acts 6, he was a deacon. Acts 21 says that he was an evangelist, calls him Philip the evangelist. What happened? God used him in a greater measure. God was able to use him in a greater measure. How many of you know God wants to use you and I in a greater measure? And part of it starts with our own hunger, our own willingness, but then it's these three things that we're talking about tonight. Will enable God to use us in a greater measure. He used Philip in a mighty revival in Samaria in chapter 8. Just a revival broke out to the hated, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And Philip went down there with the word available to God, and God used him in a mighty way. People got saved. People got healed. People got set free. People got delivered. I said, there is a day coming. There is a day quickly approaching you and I. And the greatest challenge we face as believers, I believe, is that we're ready to be, we need to be ready and in position to be used of the Lord. If our eyes are on us, if our eyes are all on us, all about our needs, oh Lord, just me, us four and no more. God can only use us to a certain extent. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. God's looking tonight. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. Somebody who says, I want to be used greater, Lord. I believe there is a revival in the land. I believe there's a revival coming that likes it that have never been seen before. But I'll tell you this, we're going to have to be ready as individual believers to be used of the Lord. Philip was ready. God sent him to Samaria, to a place nobody else wanted to go. If you had asked any of the other Jews, where would you like to go for God to use you for a revival? And they would have said, we'll go anywhere. They said, we'll go to Samaria. Oh, that's okay, Samaria. I thought you was talking about somewhere else. Samaritans. No, Philip was available to God. He used him mightily. And then the Lord spoke. Show you how available the Lord spoke to him. You ever read Acts chapter 8? The Lord speaks to him in the middle of the major revival and tells him, leave that revival. Go out to a lonely, dusty road. I want you to minister to one person. I want you just to leave the power of all the revival, people getting touched, healed, saved, set free. Go minister to one person. I want to use you that way now. And that's where Philip met up with the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8. And God used him mightily. He got out there to that dusty road. There was only one. There wasn't a crowd out there. There was just one chariot. And the Lord told him, go join yourself to that chariot. When he got up there to the chariot, he found the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading the scriptures. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand what he was reading. Think about that. God sent Philip to minister to one dude. And the guy's reading the scripture, not understanding what he's reading. He's in need of help. And Philip says, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I understand unless somebody helps me? And the Bible says he started there where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah and led him to Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch, when he got born again, he said, they came past a pool of water. The Ethiopian eunuch said, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, he said, I believe Jesus, the Son of God. They said, stop the chariot. Philip got down in the water, baptized him, came out of the water and was translated instantly. Instantly, he was translated. Wound up in a town called Azotus. It was miles away, just like you snapped your finger. But he was in a position to be used. I said he was in a position of availability to God to be used. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, a huge opportunity is awaiting you and I this 2019 year. And the real question is, what will be our availability to be used by the Lord? I told you, most of my stories. I told you recently about how I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which led me to the Hagen Ministries, which led me out here. I had been a good Catholic boy, and then got born again, and among just some tremendous, wonderful. The Catholics were wonderful. The Baptists that led me to the Lord, wonderful people. Thank God for them. I thank God for them to this day. They taught me the Word. Thank God for that. But as a Baptist, I at least where I was coming from, I didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and healing and things of that nature. And I didn't know any better. I was sincere, but I was sincerely ignorant. Running track one morning, Ashland, Virginia, at Randolph-Macon College. Running track. Attending a Christian summer-long conference and running track. Me and another lady, we were running track at 6 a.m., Ashland, Virginia. The track, the three-quarters of the track was surrounded by a forest. And out of that forest at 6 a.m. came a man. I told this, I won't belabor the story, but he came up and he said this. He said, I'm staying at a Pentecostal camp through the woods. Walked straight out of the woods, 6 o'clock in the morning. It was so weird. I didn't know if he meant us harm. We were praying. We had finished running. We were praying. And I told the woman, I said, get up off your knees and go back to the dorm. Go back to the women's dorm. This guy's coming out of the woods. I don't know what he wants. And he was walking toward us fast. I didn't know if I was going to have to. No, I didn't know what it meant. But when he got close to us, he said, praise God. It's good to see God's people praying. He said, I'm staying at a Pentecostal camp through the woods. He said, it's way through those woods. He said, I was asleep. The Lord woke me up and told me to walk through the woods. He said, I didn't know what the Lord wanted. He said, the Lord just told me to walk through the woods. He said, I couldn't figure out why would I walk through the woods? He said, but I knew the Lord wanted me to walk through the woods. And then when I came through, I saw a clearing and I could see those buildings and I saw y'all running. And he said, I thought, oh, I'm going to get him born again. He said, then I saw y'all kneel and pray. And he said, they're already saved. What do I do? He said, then I realized he wants me to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. We didn't get filled that day. We were resistant, but he prayed a prayer that jacked my life up. I mean, the Lord, he prayed a prayer over us. I was never the same after his prayer. His prayer led me straight to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His prayer led me straight out here. His prayer led me straight into my own ministry today. Oh, yeah. He was used of God. God sent him 6 o'clock in the morning. Just walk through the woods. No other instruction. But Brother Bill was out there in need of a prayer that would help me to understand the things of God. He was just used of God. He was used of God. And in his prayer, he prayed a powerful prayer. He said, Father, he said, I pray you'll open up their understanding to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Father God, when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, Father, show it to me in Jesus' name. Amen. After I got filled with the Holy Ghost, was speaking in other tongues, I went to bed one night, had a dream. I saw that brother in my dream. He was laughing, rejoicing, and praising God. I woke up out of my dream and said, Lord, that was the brother who prayed for me. That was the brother who prayed for me. I know you showed him. I know you showed him. He was used of God. And we have to have a hunger to be used of God. These three things will enable God to use us in a much more effective way than he has heretofore. First, we're in 2 Timothy. Let's go to the word. Chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. I like that. King James said, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of everyday life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God chose you and I to be a soldier. What's important about these three things? The first of them is be a good soldier. If we're going to be used more, if we're going to be used more in this new year, if God's going to use you more down on the job, if he's going to use you more in your neighborhood, if he's going to use you more in your sphere of influence with people, you want God to use you more. You want God to open things up to you. Okay, God's heard you. Oh, God's heard you. But the question is, look, these three things. Number one, we got to be a good soldier. The first thing he said, verse 3, he gives us a clue as what a good soldier is. He said, suffer hardship with me. Suffer hardship. Verse 3, he said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, a good soldier. God wants you and I to be a good. Now, see, the one thing about a soldier is not concerned with pleasing himself or pleasing herself. A soldier wants to please their commanding. I wish I had an amen in here. Their commanding officer. My dad, he was in the army 20 years. And my dad, he was a good soldier. And when the army asked him to go, he went. When the army asked him to do something, he did it. He was a paratrooper in Japan. One of my sisters was born in Japan. She has a Russian name. She was born in Japan. Olga. The army asked him, they asked him to go to France. Our whole family went to France, moved to France. First school I went to was a French school. We lived in Belgium. We lived all over the world. When the army said go, then we got up and went. My dad was a good soldier. A good soldier is always seeking to obey the order. See, a good soldier knows that life is no longer about the soldier. Life becomes about the joy of following the commands and the orders of the commanding officer. And Jesus is that commander, our elder brother. And when we switch in our maturity, in our availability to our commanding officer and say, Lord, it's about you now. I don't want life to be about me anymore. I don't want life on my terms anymore. I want to experience life on your terms. Woo, look out. Look out. You get somebody talking like that, look out. Because God's going to use that person in ways they've never dreamt. I'm sure he used Philip in ways he had never dreamt. That brother who came through the woods, I'm sure he would have never dreamt how God would use me and the things that God would do in my own life. I'm sure when he got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to obey God, to just walk through the woods. I'm sure when he was going back through the woods, I don't know, but he might have felt like, well, man, Lord, that was a waste of time. That brother was resistant. He didn't get filled with the Spirit. He did let me pray for him, but that was it. Oh, but what was to come from just being used? That brother was used by God. I thank God all the time for him. I said, Father, wherever that brother is, bless him, Lord. Wherever he is, I'm so grateful that he was obedient. Just walk through the woods. God wants to use you. I said, what I'm saying to you is God wants to use you. He's already using you. He wants to use you more. That's what I'm saying. He wants to use you more than you've ever dreamt he could use you. But the first thing is we got to be a good soldier. A good soldier knows how to suffer hardship. As Paul writes to Timothy under the unction of the Holy Ghost, he uses powerful examples. A soldier, a farmer, an athlete. And he says all three of these, they know how to go through hard times and come out on the other side. They know how to deal with life when life can get tough and you want to just give up sometimes. But a good athlete won't do that. No. A good farmer won't do that. They'll keep right on planting. You say, well, maybe a flood came. Maybe the winds came. Maybe something messed up the crop. A good farmer just keep right on planting. They'll go right back to planting, sowing and reaping. Oh, but a soldier won't give up. A soldier wants to please first his commanding officer. Second, a soldier knows how to experience hardship. Paul knew how to experience hardship and come out on the other side. You remember over there in Acts, don't turn there, but Acts 27, after a shipwreck, major shipwreck, 276 people on board the ship Paul was on, and they barely made it to God. It was only because the Lord spared them, and God said, I'm going to spare you, Paul. I've got a work for you to do, and I'm going to spare everybody else on the ship. All 276 of them were saved. They all would have died, and the Lord spared them all. And they got to the island of Malta, and they were cold and wet from the storm, and from the ship was destroyed. And when you read that story in Acts 27, and they're gathering wood, and Paul goes to pick up wood, there's a poisonous snake in his pile. 276 people, they must have all been picking up wood for the fire. How come the poisonous snake in Paul's pile of wood? You ever felt snake bit? Something ever happened in your life that you didn't anticipate as a Christian? And you said, Father, why do I get snake bit? Anybody ever been through that? You ever been through anything you didn't anticipate that you didn't see? Just me? Oh, but if you won't get caught up in being snake bit, Paul shook that thing off. And the Bible said he suffered no ill effect. And in life, through the blood, and through the grace of God and through the power of his promises, we have to learn to shake stuff off. I know you've been snake bit, but you just shake that thing off in the name of Jesus. I said, amen. Shake it off into the blood. I said, amen. I said, shake it off while you're quoting his promises. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, something might not have gone right for you in this past year, 2018. Something may have happened that was unpredictable and unprecedented in your life, but you need to shake that thing off. I said, God's got bigger and better things for you ahead. I wish I had an amen in here. You can't get no amen teaching like this. I remember when I went through my divorce, I felt snake bit. Lord, why me? Didn't think I deserved that. And sometimes things can happen to you and I that we may not deserve. But that's not a reason for you to quit. Oh, you can't get no amen teaching like this. Y'all slowing me down. You're slowing me down. Something may have happened. Something may have gone wrong. And they may have fired you down there on the job. Maybe they didn't do you right. They didn't do you right. Somebody didn't do you right. Somebody didn't treat you right. Paul said at his trial, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, at my first trial, nobody even stood with me. All the people I helped, all the people I risked my life for, I was stoned, shipwrecked, beat just to minister to people. And all the people I ministered to, nobody would stand with me at my own trial. He said, that's all right. The Lord forgives him. And he said, but the Lord stood with me. And he said, the Lord strengthened me. Oh, yes, he did. And he marched right on out of that trial with the victory. I said, you may be going through something, but God's got victory for you. You say, well, I sure wish God had showed me what I was going to go through. It doesn't matter whether he showed you or whether he didn't show you. You got the promises of his word to ride the victory. I said, amen. Keep your finger there over in Romans chapter 8. Over in Romans chapter 8. Y'all slowing me down. I'm expecting a faster, quicker amen. I can go on to my next point if y'all would hurry up and say amen. Got to drag the amen. I'm a preacher fueled by amen. I'm like a coal train. You don't put the coal in the train slow down. Romans chapter 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Woo! I said, it don't matter what you've been through. If God is for you, hey, who can be against you? You and God are a majority. And with God on your side, that's all you need. Gideon looked out over 10,000 men and God said, you got too many. You ain't going to battle with 10,000 men today, Gideon. And he gave him a strategy that he knew would whittle down Gideon's army down to 300 men. Think about that. Gideon had 10,000 people ready to fight with him. And God said, reduce that. Because those 10,000 people get the big head thinking they got that victory. God said, me and you are a majority, Gideon. You don't need 10,000. All you need is me. I wish I had an amen in here. And God gave Gideon the victory with 300 men. I said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Woo, I'm giving you some ammunition tonight. Over in verse 37, Romans 8, 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. No matter what's going on, you are an overwhelming conqueror. Can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, you, I'm talking about you. You are an overwhelming. It ain't even close. You're an overwhelming conqueror. You say, I don't feel like that. Don't matter what you feel. Who told you to feel? God said you're an overwhelming conqueror. Hey, and if you'll say you're an overwhelming conqueror, things are going to change. I said, things are going to change. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever I just want to follow you. And he told me, whatever you lose, I will multiply it back to you. He said, whatever you lose, I'll multiply it back to you. And he's been so faithful to do that. Every place I look in my life, I see multiplication. Something God has done for Brother Bill. I put a big old sign up in my pantry in my kitchen. God's been good to Bill. Everybody who come to my house can see God been good to me. On my golf ball, I got a Pro V1 golf ball, but you know what it say on it? God been good to Bill. Oh, yeah. I got a beautiful golf bag. I had them embroidered on my golf bag. God been good to Bill. I said, Lord, been so good to me that you'll have to be a good soldier. God wants to use you more. God's got things he's planned for you you have not dreamt of. But we're going to have to be a good soldier. Remember, good soldier always, hey, I want to please my commanding officer. We need to get up every day saying, Lord, what is your pleasure? What is your desire for my life today? What's your pleasure, Lord? What would you have me to do today? We need to get up and say, Lord, whoever you would want me to talk to, whatever you would want me to do, I'll do it for you. I said, amen. I'm just telling this for the sake of the example, not to tell off something good on me, but today I was visiting someone at the hospital, and I walked out of the hospital, and I walked past their little gift shop, and it had just the sweetest aroma. It smelled good. And I stopped, and I went to the ladies in the gift shop, and I said, what is that smell? It smells good. They said, the ladies actually said, it's us. You're two little cute little ladies. Anyway, I said, okay, well, I should have said that first. It was y'all, but after y'all, what is that smell? And they said, it's these wonderful candles that we got. And I said, woo, let me go to my car. I said, I was up there visiting someone, but now I want to go to my car and get some money. I want to buy one of them candles. I bought this candle called Vanilla Pound Cake. I closed my eyes and be led to the Lord by the pound cake. I bought the candle. I went to the car and got some money. I was paying for the candle. And there was another lady in line, and she was saying, I was waiting for her, and I'm behind her, and she was saying, oh, how much is that purse over there? And then the lady said, well, you know, it's such and such. And they said, well, it's 30% off. And she said, well, I have the other purse that goes with it, but I don't have that one. She said, how much is that? And they told her how much. And she said, well, I don't have the money for that. And so I said, well, hey, bring the purse over here anyway. Put that purse on my candle. I'll buy the candle and the purse. And the lady turned around. She said, oh, pastor, how you doing? I was like, oh, how you doing, girl? I was able to be used buying a candle. I said, God can use you anywhere. He can use you baking bread. God can use you shoveling somebody's snow or getting groceries for somebody, bringing somebody a meal. God can use you visiting somebody. Woo! What was my first point? To be a what? Be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. We better run on. Y'all slowed me down with those amens. We would have already been past there. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The second point is be an approved workman. Be an approved workman. Look at verse 14. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of its hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Everybody say approved to God. Yeah. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Wow. If we're going to be used in a greater way in 2019, the first thing we have to do is be a good soldier. The second thing we have to do is be an approved worker. As it concerns the mighty word of God, we've got to get better in accurately dividing the word of God. We've got to get better. And listen, our ability to hear God's voice and sense the leading of the Spirit, Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, Proverbs 20:27, our ability to sense the inward witness and sense his leading, listen, is directly connected to our ability to understand his word. Yeah. And let me say again, he'll never contradict. The Holy Spirit will never, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, will never contradict what God says in his word. If that were true, God would contradict himself. I said, amen. And so there's a direct correlation between our ability to hear God's voice or sense his leading, the inward witness. There's a direct correlation between our ability to sense the inward witness and between that and our ability to spend time in and understand his word. We will never master his voice if we don't first master his word. Got two amens and a grunt. In Matthew chapter 4, go with me to Matthew 4 real quick. Come on, we're running. Matthew 4. You know where I'm going, right? Matthew 4:11. Of course, all throughout that chapter, Jesus taught us about the importance of the mighty word of God. And we could read the whole thing. 4:11 says the devil left him and began, and behold, the angels began to minister to him. The reason the devil left him is because Jesus stayed with the word. He kept quoting the word. He kept saying, it is written. At every challenge of Satan, he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Every time Satan challenged him, Jesus had, it is written. Jesus wasn't debating him. He wasn't in a debate competition. Every time the enemy challenged him, Jesus said, it's written. And he was showing us how to be an approved worker. That's my second point. A good soldier, an approved worker. We got to be better with the word. We say we word people, but saying we're word people ain't enough. Thank God for the word that we have. But each of us, if we really examined our life, we need to be stronger in the word. Can I get an amen there? Can I get one more grunt? We need to be stronger. Yeah. We got to be stronger in the word. Everything the enemy said to try to trick Jesus, to try to trap Jesus, the only thing he said is, it is written. Yeah. It is written. It is written. And that is our formula for success. It is written. The enemy's messing with you in your mind. It is written ought to be coming out of your mouth. Yes. God didn't call us to argue and debate with the devil. We need to be saying, it's written.
That's right. Amen.
But to say it's written, we've got to be more familiar with his promises. Yes. I said, amen. And as we do that, we'll be more accurate with the inward witness, more accurate with his leading. Sometimes people get disappointed because they're not accurate with the leading of the Lord. You get more in scripture, you'll be more accurate with his leading. I said, amen. I said, for every problem you have, every situation you face, there is a scripture, there is a promise from God that covers that. And if you'll stop being silent, silence won't do it for you. You say, I'm just not going to say anything to the devil. Now he'll defeat you with your mouth closed. Jesus didn't have his mouth closed. Jesus' mouth was open saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. You say, I don't feel right in my body. You need to keep saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. Go read 1 Peter 2:24. Go read Isaiah 53. Tell him it's written. It's written. He'll tell you, well, you ought to feel. You ought to feel. How do you feel? How do you feel? You say, no, no matter how I feel, it's written. Only thing that matters is what's written. Woo, you can't get away with teaching like this. You say, Pastor, I'm looking for a job. You need to be saying it's written. And then have your feet out there getting applications or online or however you put those applications in. I said, amen. You need to be saying it's written. You say, but I feel so defeated. It don't matter what you feel. What do you believe? And what's coming out of your mouth? That's the key to your overwhelming victory. It don't matter. God's proven time and time again, he'll fix it for you. He's proven time and time again, he'll do it for you. He's proven time and time again, he'll come through for you. He's proven time and time again, he'll open that door for you. He's proven time and time again, he can provide for you. But we need to be an approved worker. And Paul wrote to Timothy, remind them of these things to be an approved. Don't be squabbling with people. Don't be arguing with people. Use the word accurately. Use the word correctly. Got to be a good soldier. What was my second point? Got to be an approved worker. Let's finish here with the third point. Listen, if we're going to be used more of the Lord in 2019, then we've got to be a clean vessel. A good soldier, an approved worker, a clean vessel. Verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified. Look now, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Wish I could get an amen there. He said, be a clean vessel, be a good soldier, be an approved worker with the word, and be a clean vessel. Thank God. How many thank God for the blood? It's the blood. The blood is our cleansing agent. Aren't you glad for that? Micah 7:18 said that God threw our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. Aren't you glad for that? And, And Jesus gave us the spiritual bar of soap and in 1 John. But look, the thing is, he said, be a clean vessel. Don't let there be any unconfessed sin between you and God. People today have with error in interpreting the word. Sometimes people today make it seem like it doesn't matter how you live. You can just live your life any old kind of way. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you want to be used of God? You want God to use you more, Timothy, as a pastor? Be a clean vessel. And the first thing he tells him after he says, be a clean vessel, he says, flee youthful lust. Amen. Can't get no amen talking like that. Flee lust. That would include everything that goes with that. That would include pornography, lust, anything that goes with that, and anything else. Not just those things, but anything else that would make one unclean. He said, don't let there be any unconfessed sin between you and the Lord. Be a good soldier. God will use you more. If you'll be an approved worker with the word, a worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, a good soldier, an approved worker, and a clean vessel. Look out. God's going to use you more than you ever anticipated before. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mighty word tonight. Thank you for speaking to your people. A good soldier, an approved worker with the word. Oh, and a clean vessel. Father, thank you. We're asking you to use us in a greater measure than you've ever used us before. We're asking you to use us as this new year dawns. Use us in a mighty way and for your glory. We'll give you all the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, that's it for tonight, my friends. If you need prayer, these anointed folks, are not just coming up here because they look good. They're coming up here because they look good and they are anointed. They're anointed to pray with you. And so if you'll come up here, if you need prayer for anything, you want to be saved, you want to be born again, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you want somebody to agree with you, whatever you need, come on up. And they will agree with you in the name of Jesus, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Stand up on your feet. Anybody who's a first-time guest, wave at me real big. We want to thank you for coming. Did we have any first-time guests? We did. Okay. Let's thank all of our first-time guests. We want you to go now and get that gift. Amen. Let's clap for them. Go now with our connection team member. We're going to give you that gift in the name of the Lord on behalf of our pastors, Pastor Mrs. Hagen, and let's keep our pastors lifted up in prayer this week. Don't you love our pastors? We got the best pastors in the whole world, so we thank God for them, and we thank God for you. All right, we want you to have a blessed and safe week. Be here Sunday morning. Pastor's got a powerful word. He's coming with the word Sunday morning. So be here and be ready to go. As Pastor Tad said, there's no school of the Bible on Sunday. All right. In the name of Jesus, you are dismissed. We'll see you next time.